Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 177. What are you doing? Rich is back, but other special guests are not, so it's our normal group plus Rich, who might become a fixture. We'll see if Josh doesn't scare him off too bad with all his, you know, highfalutin talk, you know.
Highfalutin?
Yeah.
Wow.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm just saying. Be careful. Watch yourself.
Talk Colin.
Watch yourself. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Not highfalutin Josh.
Lowfalutin Josh.
Dave. Lowbrow Josh.
Pat.
Adam.
The aforementioned Rich.
There we go.
That's a fancy name.
That was highfalutin.
That, the aforementioned, yes, big words. So I guess we need to get to the news because there was a little bit of news today.
Today?
Or no, it was what, Thursday? Last Thursday?
Yesterday.
You saw it yesterday?
Well, the leak of all.
Well,
the
yeah.
New
well,
Marvel's
they started talking about all their stuff.
Well, yeah, they started talking about, but I saw the official. The official
yellowing.
Leak.
Yeah.
Today. So I guess we can start with that.
Okay. What's Marvel doing?
So, Marvel is relaunching their product line with 45 new books.
And it's funny, just not to jump on you, but I get, there's lots of comments online about me being very anti-Marvel. So I've been looking at all this, trying to be as pro-Marvel as I can.
Here's and it's, the thing, it's like, we're not talking about the content of these books.
Right.
To release a book, have it out for 4 issues or 5 issues, and then suddenly relaunch it.
Look, that's my problem. That's my whole problem with the thing. But
call the miniseries then.
I know. But okay, Pat.
So
go ahead.
Couple
and we got these fancy Marvel book preview books.
We
so
did.
If you'd like one.
Sheet this
time. He had to go
had to
so
write,
into depth.
Well no, I put down all the names of the books.
They sent me 250 of these, so yeah, we got everybody gets two. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, a couple things that I immediately caught on this is there's going to be 9 Spider-Man related books.
Because we couldn't, we need more Spider-Man books.
Why not? Is that more than
yes.
Batman books? Like
that that's close.
That's close. But all the Batman books don't, like Batgirl doesn't have Batman, and you know, so it's not Batman in all of them. So.
Well, no, but you have the Carnage book. You have
oh, that's true.
Venom,
yes.
Space Knight.
None of them have Batman.
Right.
That's, yeah. Web Warriors, Spider-Man 2099, Spider-Woman, and now she's pregnant, which I have a problem with that. Amazing Spider-Man, which is the old Ultimate Spider-Man book. They just took Ultimate off of it. Spider-Gwen. I think that's all of them.
Are we going to go through the entirety of this?
No, we don't. I don't think
no.
we have
okay.
to go. Yeah,
I just
that would take
to mention
too long.
Something real quick. About
but yeah,
Spider-Gwen.
No, I agree with Josh. We're Spider Gwen went 5 issues, then is pausing for Secret Wars, and then starting back with a new number one. Why?
And then the interview with the creative team makes it sound like it's picking up right where it left off. So
yeah,
what was the point
yeah.
of that?
I hate this relaunch with the exact same creative team picking up right where the arc left off previously.
A number one for no
especially
other reason.
Especially when it's 4
yeah.
or 5 issues.
Yeah.
Hawkeye,
it just
Silk.
Doesn't make any sense. I don't get...
Silk like, gone bad.
There must be no communication between anybody at Marvel.
But then, and I also look at these and I go, you know, some of these clearly are planned for miniseries. We're not going to get a Web Warriors 20. You know, but they're,
get
you know,
we're not going to get any of these. 20.
But I'm just saying, well, yeah, but I mean, just Marvel being Marvel, but you just look at it, you just know some of these are miniseries that they're kind of trying to sell us as not.
Yeah.
And where it's a problem is like, I just got in Spider-Gwen number 2, like 6th prints, and only to get number 5 and find out that the series has ended. And I wouldn't have ordered those because now that it's ended, there's going to be no more demand for these issues.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were going to get a 6 and a 7 and an 8, people would go back and want to get the earlier issues. But now that we're getting a number 1, there's going to be no demand for volume 1, number 2.
Well, the other question,
third print.
Are they going to go to a trade?
Oh, we'll get a trade, a 5-issue trade for $19.99, and then we'll get another trade, volume 1. So we'll have 2 volume 1 trades.
Yeah.
Even though it's the same
right.
story.
And same like Ant-Man ended at 5, and now we get a number 1. Hawkeye,
and
I, what, we're on 3?
The trades, they better change the covers of everything.
Yeah, if they don't change the trade dress, it's going to be very,
just,
very confusing.
Yeah.
So I have no problem with the books and the creative teams and, you know, these new titles, Carnage and stuff. It's just... I remember we used to have this talk with the guys, and their one big thing was, well, maybe they should do it like seasons.
Eventually
like...
Yes.
like with TV shows. So you have season one, season two, but we're not even getting full 12 issues anymore. Yeah. We're getting, it's going five and five getting a new number one. Like I looked at the Thor, the cover of Thor.
Well, at least for this one.
And it's clearly issue 9 because it's
Cancer Thor.
They just revealed on the last page of number 8 that it was Jane Foster with cancer was Thor, and then this cover is showing her, you know, half cancer Jane, half Lady Thor. And it's like, well, is that going to make sense to the people that didn't get the previous 8 or even like the previous 1? So it should technically be number 9 to kind of guide people back.
Yeah.
Instead, you're coming out with a number one that's not really, doesn't look to me like a good jumping on point.
Yeah,
you're clearly missing something.
Previously, you know, previously in Thor, we revealed
right, that's
that,
a pretty big recap.
Well,
you know
but you don't necessarily have to go through a story, but recently in Thor, you know, we, and by the way, if you write this, I want a nickel for the 3 copies you sell. You know, Jane Foster was discovered to be Thor, and in the after effects is she has cancer because of the Odin power or whatever.
But just, it's a, yeah, it's a new number one with the same writer, same artist. It's just, it's a number one for no other reason than making
because
it a number one. Because I thought, you know, the way they talked up Secret Wars was that was the end of the Marvel Universe, and it's going to be all different going forward, and that's even the name, all new, all different, but it certainly it's appears not to be exactly the same
well,
as
like,
it was.
What I don't understand why they have to put, like, with Hawkeye, couldn't they have continued the story right where it left off? Like, why put a number one?
Can't they
what is
the
that going
to
do
before they go to the second that, story?
Well, does it really make any difference between, like, first of all, I don't know if, like, this is going to be, like, a brand new start, a brand new arc, even, but because we haven't seen a finish to the last arc, so I'm assuming since
we haven't seen a finish to the last
two arcs.
Yeah.
The arc before that, yeah.
Will but, this number one come out before Fraction's last issue?
Yeah, I don't know what the point of, like, some of these, if they were getting, and they did that the last time when they did this new number one thing, where they kept, like, stuff going, certain books going with the regular numbers, and
some didn't,
number ones, yeah. So I don't know why they're going in this direction.
But there's, I mean, there's some things on here that are missing. If there is no Fantastic Four book.
That's not surprising.
There is no Punisher book.
That is surprising. That is Although they did say this isn't all of it. This is only 40-some, so there's another, like, 15 or so.
Oh,
to
is
come.
There? Okay,
yeah.
I thought that there. I thought
no,
that this was it.
They said there were going to be 60 new number ones coming out this
fall. And we'll have a Punisher book because of the announcement of the TV
in
show.
Daredevil. Yeah, that's what I figured, yeah. There's no more Moon Knight book. They have the Uncanny Avengers, the New Avengers, but there's no real Avengers book.
Well, all new, all different.
Yeah, there's no new. Yeah. But, okay, so the all new, all different Avengers are Thor, Jane Foster, Vision, Miss Marvel, the Kamala. What's her face?
Khan.
Yeah,
yep.
Khan, Miss Marvel. Miles Morales, Spider-Man. Nova, which I'm assuming is Sam Alexander, the kid Nova.
Yeah.
Iron Man, whoever that's going to be. And then Captain America.
Sam Wilson, Captain America.
Not exactly what I would call your A-list Avengers there.
It's the...
Oh,
well,
it's Thor, Cap, Iron Man,
What's the
Vision.
Free comic book day book?
Yeah.
Frankly, there wasn't much to that book. It basically made it like we have 3 older Avengers and then, you know, these minor, or maybe 4 because Vision's there. And then we have these 3 minor characters that they're almost training or something. And that seems like the gist of the book.
Well, yeah, okay. You have Iron Man and Vision.
Yeah. And Thor.
But Thor is Jane Foster. It's not Thor. You know, Spider-Man, you know.
But these are characters, now this might be Jane Foster, but these are the characters that are more of the adult characters, and then you have 3 minor, minors.
Yeah, I get that, but.
I don't like it at all. I think it's stupid, but.
You know, that's not the.
I don't think it's a good way of doing a relaunch of something that has been doing so well in the theaters, and they relaunch with this, like. It's not a powerful. It's not a big thing.
No.
Like we're getting a number one, and our team is, you know, this. And people are like you said, they're not the it's not the heavy hitters that you thought you'd get.
No.
In an Avengers book. And we haven't had that. Where in Justice League, I think we have.
Well, and so look at Uncanny X-Men, which you would think that's your primary X-Men book. And the lineup is Magneto, Psylocke, Mystique, Phantom X, and Sabretooth.
Yeah.
Which sounds a lot like it would be a cross between the Thunderbolts and X-Force.
That's what it looks like.
And one weird thing, because I think it was in the very... Was it in the first picture? No, it was in the second one, but you had Citizen V, but he's not in here anywhere. Neither is Inhuman... maybe he's in the Inhuman book. Yeah, I didn't see Citizen V. This Ultimates lineup is basically looking like the Mighty Avengers revamped yet again.
I mean, like, I can't totally...
Or trying to come out with it again. We had Mighty Avengers, because Captain America, Mighty Avengers, and now they're going to call them the Ultimates.
Because we don't necessarily know the stories.
No, and there are some titles on here that I'll check out.
It's not like, selling me, I don't want to judge a book by its cover, which is kind of what we're in a way doing. But it just doesn't seem. None of these characters even interest me. Like, with a comic book, at least you can see that you're just like, this is the team? Like, this isn't really...
But here's... Okay. Comic book people, and I know this is a broad generalization, don't like change. This is a huge shock to everything. And at least, you know, like, when they relaunched DC and they did the New 52,
yeah.
Batman stayed the same, Green Lantern stayed the same. So if for no other reason, you could kind of say, okay, I can go back to my Batman book, nothing's really changed. I can go to Green Lantern, nothing's really changed. Here... Everything has changed.
Yeah.
And Colin and I talked about this right before the podcast. I was saying, you know, you always run the danger when you change things, you're going to have people fall off. And that's okay if the number of new readers you bring on will offset the number of readers that jump off. But there's not a lot on here that I'm saying, wow, you know, I really wanted a Karnak book, or I really wanted a Scarlet Witch book, or, like, there's nothing there to just grab me and say, I really want to read this. Now, granted... Apparently, there's 15 other titles that we don't know what they are. And there are titles on here that I'm interested in. I think Charles Soule and Daredevil could be good. I think, especially if they take it into the courtroom a little bit more, because he is a lawyer. And one of the things I really liked in the Daredevil TV show was when they kind of did their lawyer tricks. That was cool. And to have an actual lawyer writing it might bring some of that in and be a little bit different. I think the Doctor Strange book could be good. Because we haven't seen one of them in a while, and Jason Aaron's writing it, so that could be pretty good.
I think it's a better time to be bringing out a Doctor Strange book with more of the announcement of a Doctor Strange. Usually they're a little, like, late on it, that they bring it out after, you know, at a weird time.
Yeah. You know, but then there's, you know, the Totally Awesome Hulk, which, to me, it sounds like that should be a Marvel Kids book.
Yeah. It's Greg Pak writing it, though, and he... I killed it on Hulk for a long time.
I get that, but that's... You would think that a company that does marketing as well as Disney, someone from headquarters at Disney didn't look at this and say, no, go back and try again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come up with something better. You know, what's wrong with the Incredible Hulk?
Well, I get they want to do something different, so I'm fine with that, but... Yeah, Totally Awesome sounds. I don't know.
Well, how well has Hulk been doing these last few years, though?
When it relaunched with Indestructible, I think it was doing well until it got sucked in by Age of Ultron. Uh-huh. And there was like 7 issues of tie-ins there that killed the momentum of the book.
Yeah.
And I don't think it recovered from that. And then you said it picked up after...
Jerry Duggan came on.
Yeah, after he came on.
I jumped off at that point, 12 issues, but I really liked that book and with Doc Green and what he did with that.
And it seemed like it got a lot of great, you know.
I feel like that's really what they're trying to do with that book, is that they're trying to go in a completely different direction just to see if something sticks.
Well,
I feel, because
it just throws me off having someone else, as Hulk.
I guess the character kind of works in a way, because he was kind of attached to more Hercules they attached him to, but he was especially big in Planet Hulk. Did they definitely say that's who it is?
No,
they haven't definitely.
Why have they blacked out his arm?
We were talking about that before, because
it's not Amadeus Cho, it's actually Ulysses Claw. They just didn't want
to see that. It would have been like this little thing would be like, who is it?
That's... Where that's Hulkling.
Oh,
Hulkling. Yeah, Hulkling.
From the new or the Young Avengers.
Yeah. Oh.
And that's basically what that book is.
Yeah, the New Avengers is Songbird, Hawkeye, Wiccan, Hulking, Squirrel Girl, and Sunspot. Which, again, Avengers. With the exception of Hawkeye, I don't think of any of those guys as Avengers.
You know what that book looks like? Avengers Initiative.
Because they're new Avengers.
New Young Avengers.
So really they're giving us
Young
the
Avengers or something like that would have made more sense.
Yeah. And Hawkeye's in it. I don't know what he's doing. But Ultimates really cracks me up, though.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot there, and you know they certainly have kind of trying to widen their line and get some new things in. I got to say that's a plus.
Yeah.
If the books are good, but if they're not good, then you know us rambling on about how horrible they are is justified.
No, I can't. We can't really say that they're going to be horrible. It's just I think as I've been saying, for me, it's looking at the teams. Like as I was just talking about Ultimates, I'm looking at it. The other day, I was saying, what is this? Is it like Space Avengers or something? It has to be in space because Galactus is there. Where else could Galactus be? Like, is he going to do a mission on Earth? Like.
Maybe.
Just to be like, oh, I'm here, you know, just floating above Earth. I just don't get it.
I think my opinion is just a little bit soured by how they do things.
Yeah, it's just
it is.
I look at these books, and even if something sounds interesting, I think, what's the point?
Like, why should I get invested?
Why invest in this if in five issues or whatever it's going to be relaunched?
And that's been one of my biggest problems with Marvel books for a while now.
I understand that sometimes we lean a bit DC, you know, pro DC, but at the same time, at least their books are broken number 40 at some point. I mean,
well, sort of Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool and Avengers. Those are the two. One of the X books, Uncanny.
To say that, like, that Marvel doesn't, like, with this doesn't seem different than what DC was bringing out. Because, I mean, DC brought out that Clarion book and stuff. And characters I wouldn't expect. Like,
even
we were
now,
talking
like,
about the Inhuman. What's his name? It starts with a character.
Karnak.
Like, a Karnak book. Is that really going to make
even now,
it?
Like,
probably
the,
not. But,
Batmite and what's the Hitman?
But those are
Section 8.
Section 8. Like, you know, DC is releasing some, you know, wacky things, too, that people are liking and some people aren't liking.
Batmite, though, is also a six-issue mini-series.
True.
They told it was going to be. Yeah. Same thing with Bizarro, because I can't imagine a Bizarro, although the cover
even
for Bizarro
Prez
today
is just
was
a 12.
Awesome. What's Batman that?
Right. Even Prez is just a 12.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, no, the Bizarro cover today was...
That was awesome.
But I don't feel like this is new,
Bizarro is Batman and Jimmy Olsen is Robin,
with Batman standing behind him.
I don't feel like any of this is new.
It's all new, all different. What are you talking about,
Adam?
It
really isn't. I think
feel
that's
like
what's really
just done the same. Did the same thing that DC didn't have a core group of books that continued, and then released a bunch of new stuff alongside it.
Yeah.
Just to relaunch.
But I think they would have been better off
books.
Doing that.
That's what I'm saying. They should have.
Yeah, they did.
Because to relaunch some of these books just for the sake of relaunching them. When the creative teams are on these books and interviews are saying that things are essentially picking up where they left off, like,
what Uncanny is going 44-601. It's like, why? And then all new X-Men ended with what, I think 33, but it's the series is officially ending in 600, and then it's getting a new number one. Angela, there's Angela who made it six issues and now getting a new number one.
Yeah.
It's just, I also didn't quite understand the Sam Wilson Captain America, because I don't think the Sam Wilson name has any cachet.
That's, of course, what you want
with anyone.
About.
You know, not even.
They couldn't call it Falcap, though.
No, but just call it Captain America. Or call it Falcon. You know, one or the other. But because I don't think fans, even who saw Captain America 2, know his name is Sam Wilson.
No. Probably not.
You know, but if you said his name was Falcon, they'd all, I know who that is. But, you know, so even newbies, but I'd say even comic book people, if you said Sam Wilson, it would take them a while before they came up with Falcon.
Yeah.
So, speaking of names, maybe this is just a gripe on my part, but it drives me nuts that they're coming out with another Old Man Logan book. Old Man Logan referred to a specific story. And now we're going to have a third, you know, series. With that same title,
he's the only Logan now, isn't?
But right.
Call it Logan something else. Like call it
geriatric Logan.
Wolfie or something. Like I don't know. Just give it a different name. It just it bugs me.
Or even just Logan.
I think it bugs me because right now they came out with Old Man Logan and Planet Hulk and Secret Wars. And the current Planet Hulk book, which I enjoy, has absolutely nothing to do with Planet Hulk, which refers to a specific storyline.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
is Hulk even in it?
Doc Green's in it in this issue. Okay. So I just give it a different name. Stop trying to, you know, tie it to something that was really, really successful way
it's
back
like
when.
It's like they have a lot of pride in what they've done before.
Which is fine. Have that pride, but don't make it confusing now by having, you know, Old Man Logan at one point in time meant that book.
And now we'll probably have different characters.
Yeah. Now they're treating it just like Spider-Man or whatever else. I mean, he's not, his character's name is not Old Man Logan. He's Logan.
It's Logan.
And he's an old man, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just it's a nitpicky thing on my part, I guess, but it just drives me nuts.
Hater.
Yeah.
That's fine. Jeez, you call me hater.
Tries to get the senior citizen discount at the movies. That'll be a good issue.
Old Man Logan.
How is it?
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Jonah Hex.
Cover of ARP.
Where he, like, shows up.
That'd be great.
And when he just shows up in a time that's not his or something, except it's kind of in reverse. He doesn't have as bad as Jonah Hex did, where he showed up in also like some weird future.
So, that's any other gripes about Marvel?
No, yeah, my biggest gripe is just restarting all these ones that had just gotten started. That's what I didn't quite.
I thought
didn't quite get
one of them. Oh, the Ant-Man book with Nick Spencer really reminds me of Secret Avengers. Like that early run of Secret Avengers, and he was on that for like a certain amount of time.
I didn't love that run. I liked the one after with Alex Pott.
I liked the beginning part, and then they like switched.
I don't see MODOK in any of these books. What's going on?
I liked Ed Brubaker writing it. Ed Brubaker left, Nick Spencer took over for like this certain amount of time. He did these like weird one shots.
No, that was Ellis did the one shot.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. But, yeah, I wasn't a fan. But that's what this reminds me of. And I don't... how many characters in this are going to be coming back as supervillains or something? Ant-Man.
I like the title. Silk.
You know what, though? Silk always had that vibe with her because she was locked up in that room for years.
Yeah, so
she was going to go... She was going to go off the rails at some point.
Now, pregnant Spider-Woman, I don't think she's going to be pregnant in the book. I think they're just leading up...
No, because 8 months later.
Yeah, and the description's saying parent by day, hero by night. So they're going to give her a child to deal with.
She's going
to
have the book. She's going to go into labor in the first issue.
Yeah.
All new, all pregnant.
So we need that single parent demographic.
And that's
they
why
always
I
tell
have
everyone if the
it.
Child shoots a web. Never mind. I don't want
from to. Where?
Never
from
mind.
Where?
Never mind. This is a family podcast.
Yeah. But like, if they really wanted to deal with, you know, a superhero and them having a child. Luke Cage would have been a good one.
Yeah, there's no Iron Fist,
there's no Luke Cage.
Yeah, yeah.
With them having a Netflix series, you would think you'd get a Heroes for Hire book.
That might
out.
Be.
Well, that might we. You
yeah,
know,
that,
we still
that
might.
Could be. Yeah. But you know that would be a good character that you could do the not he's not a single parent, but kind of the parent thing. The problem I have with them making Spider-Woman pregnant is I think one it's a crutch where it. You know, I can't go save, you know, people and rescue them because the baby needs to be fed, right? It's yeah, stuff like that. Like
it's a cheap dramatic element.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, the baby got kidnapped by, you know, somebody. It's like,
well, I thought that was an interesting thing, like in the Wonder Woman run, where you had that baby.
Yeah.
But it wasn't hers.
No, it wasn't hers, but...
And then also the baby was Zeus. And
right.
Baby's a badass.
Right, but I'm just saying, so, there, you know, we've seen that, but...
Was that its name? Mm-hmm. Badass Baby.
Baby Zeus.
Oh, I missed that one run.
You should really give this new one a chance.
Way to bring me down.
Man.
Josh is like, I'm gonna leave him.
Josh, don't cry. It'll be okay. The vegetative injustice will not go unpunished.
It wasn't me this week.
Anyway... In just announced today comic news, the creative team on Detective Comics is changing after issue 44.
What'd you do, Colin?
Not me.
That wasn't him.
Yeah, it looks like Manipul is leaving to do something creator-owned. And
with an exclusive, Josh.
Yeah, I tweeted.
Did he tweet back?
Richard Leto, and he tweeted back to me that he's 44 is his last issue.
Okay, he's off too.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they've only been on it for, what, 8 issues?
No, they were on
Is he going to go and
they
do,
were,
that was the most recent
run. Is he
run.
On his career?
Yeah, that's what I'm
did
saying.
They just start on 35?
He didn't give me all the details.
Yeah,
he just said 44
that.
Is his last issue.
They haven't been on it that long because they got off of Flash.
That's right, that's true. Yeah, they started on that Icarus storyline.
Yeah.
So, Image Expo's tomorrow, right?
Oh, I didn't know.
I think it's tomorrow.
Is it? Okay.
At least I think
I'm a little overwhelmed with everything.
So
right now.
That could be why it came out today. If tomorrow is going to announce what they're going to be doing,
could be.
So.
Yeah.
Because they were the art team and the writers.
And
so,
the writers.
And Buccellato has other creator
right. Teams he's
as well.
Doing yeah.
Cal.
He's doing Son of the Devil right
so
now.
So makes sense.
No,
that,
that was
if they're doing more, they have
or
to
no,
jump off
Kyle Higgins.
Yeah, he's doing Injustice.
Okay.
Buccellato.
Yeah, no.
Sons of the Devil.
Yeah. Pat said cow.
Yeah.
Bat cow.
Anyway.
It's nice when somebody else gets it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
How did you throw your voice like that, Colin?
So, in some TV... Oh, wait, no, another... there's going to be a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic.
I did see that at Boom.
They've been talking about that for a while.
Yeah, I know somebody's going to be very excited about that.
Colin.
Barry. Not me. I've watched part of one episode because it was on TV and my son was watching and I just stood there going, what? And moved on.
Yeah. Remember when we were kids and that was called Voltron?
Yeah. No, the big guy in the rubber suit they were fighting was a little, what?
It was Ultraman when I was
they
a
like
kid.
The dance.
Yeah, I remember Ultraman right. too.
I just like the
anyway. Some TV news. The Legends of Tomorrow show, which was originally supposed to be a hiatus show, you know, kind of like they did with Agent Carter, has apparently been pushed to spring of 2016.
Mm. Oh, come on.
Well, that might not necessarily be.
Well, it could
bad
be like a like an iZombie giving it 13 straight issue or episodes.
And then it can, yeah. Since it ties in these other shows so much, they can set it up with the other shows
yeah.
properly.
Well, and the other thing is, I'd hate to see it because you know you're having Firestorm in the show. Time travel is going to be heavily included in the show, so it's going to be special effects heavy. And I'd rather see them do it right than rush through production to. Have something to air in December.
Yeah. CW, they have done a great job with the effects in these shows.
They have.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll, a little disappointed that it won't be out till the spring, but I guess that's better than them.
We'll have plenty. And doesn't iZombie have a full season?
iZombie's a full season, yeah. So they'll start.
How about Constantine?
Oh, man, that's sad. That was such a good show.
Yeah.
Here. NBC canceled Constantine, Hannibal.
That's why I don't watch NBC.
You watch
they gave
it
Hannibal a chance. Like, Hannibal lasted three seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tried to give him that.
Constantine. I'm just I'm
Constantine
really surprised.
Even lasts a full season.
I'm really surprised it didn't get picked up by anyone. It was such a good show. It had the critical...
The only thing that I can think about that is it might have been a budgetary thing, and they might have said, okay, we'll pick up the show, but you got to cut your budget back significantly.
I don't think it uses many effects like Flash.
I got stuck using monsters and rubber suits.
Well.
I was just talking about.
But, you know, the other thing, we don't know what they'd planned on doing either.
Hellblazer, the Power Ranger.
What's his Zord?
I hate that now. I really do.
And then some movie news. So, Guardians of the Galaxy got a title.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I kind of love the title.
Volume 2.
Yeah, yeah I kind of love it.
I do too. It's better.
Because a comic,
it
a comic book reader will be like, oh, Volume 2 like a trade. Someone's fan of the movie like, Volume 2 like the cassette tape.
Yeah. So
it's not called Totally Awesome Guardians of the Galaxy. That would have been actually a lot better.
Actually.
It would have worked better than Hulk.
Yeah. So... The next thing was Vertigo movies, which were originally going to be going through Warner Brothers, are not. They're now going to go through New Line.
I saw that.
Yeah, that's weird.
With one exception, the Dark Universe stuff.
Well, but he just left that.
Well, that was going to be my next thing. Guillermo del Toro left that movie, but that is still apparently on track and going to be going through Warner Brothers. I guess that kind of makes sense, because New Line has always been more of a, not darker, but a more horror...
Is New Line owned by Warner Brothers?
Yeah, I think they're owned by Warner Brothers.
Oh, then that's fine, then, if it's going through a...
I forgot all about New Line. It's almost like I forgot they made movies. Like, I thought they were done.
They made the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, didn't they?
Yeah, but I thought they were, like, done.
In the last,
like,
couple...
Didn't they do Blade?
They did Blade.
Yeah.
The last couple Friday the 13th movies, they've done more of the darker stuff. So that actually would have made more sense. And then my guess is the reason why they're holding on to the Dark Universe stuff at Warner Brothers is they could do some kind of crossover.
If they own New Line, they could do a crossover regardless.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is, you know, they might be able to do something like that. You do like a Trinity War type setup or something. Although that'd be, if they could do like the Forever Evil type stuff, that'd be pretty cool.
I want to see a Swamp Thing movie. Like a legit horror.
There was a Swamp Thing movie.
Like a legit horror Swamp Thing movie.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't legit horror Swamp Thing. Yeah.
I would watch it. I didn't mind the old Swamp Thing show. I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but I don't recall minding it.
I don't remember Swamp Thing show.
I do. I have the DVDs.
I don't remember that.
Found them at Half Price Books for like $5. I'm like, I can't pass that up.
I remember there being a Swamp Thing cartoon.
Yeah.
And then I know at one point Marvel did a Man-Thing movie, but it was a Sci-Fi Network thing, and it was awful.
Stan Lee was like heavily involved in that movie as well. I remember he was talking about it when that was coming out. It was a direct-to-video.
Remember his reality show?
Yeah, the hero superhero show. Yeah,
so he wants to be a superhero, right? Yeah.
Supposedly he's been hospitalized.
Yeah, I already warned Colin on that one.
Yeah,
because of what he said about Christopher Lee. Because Stan Lee is 92.
Like, so he's a geezer. So
it's not what I mean. But
it's about time he dropped that.
One less person I got to pay for Social
Security. That's not
for.
What I mean. But I'm just saying that
more Social Security for me.
He has to explain this on. Like, this is the third podcast he's tried to defend himself on.
You're better just letting it go.
Yeah, just let it go.
Just let it go. But that's all I got for Pat's news.
Pat's getting up there too. So.
Yeah, if you reverse my numbers,
I don't know how we're all living this long. But supposedly he called him. He called the ambulance himself and said he wasn't just not feeling good, so they called an ambulance and took him. So.
Although he was out of the hospital the same day because he went to the Ant-Man premiere.
Daddy.
So,
geez, you know, buddy, you're going to the hospital because you need to stop. Like, slow down.
He's sitting in a chair for 2.5 hours.
He's like, I'm in my 90s, but here I am at the Ant-Man premiere. And
eating some popcorn, maybe some snow
waiting
caps.
For Colin to be like, what are you dropping dead?
Colin's going to tweet him, at Stan Lee. Well, it's about time anyways.
You're not dead yet.
What are you holding on to?
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
He has to shoot his cameo for Thor Ragnarok.
What are you, a robot or something? I mean, should have been gone by now.
So that's what I got, Colin.
He's like, I don't even want
to see. He's just giving up dead air. I don't care. People. All right, I'll take over. Dave, what'd you read last week?
You're defeated.
Okay, let's go to the books.
It only took 177 episodes.
Get this bad taste of Marvel out of our mouths.
That was harsh, Dave.
Well,
man.
Well, let's go to some DC. Superman number 41.
I read it.
It was really good. I thought it was really good. I was expecting a big drop off from the writer. Since it's not Jeff Johns anymore, but I couldn't. It wasn't too bad of a difference.
It wasn't a bad issue. I think I think they played it up. It was going to be bigger than it was, though. And I think if a lot of people might have looked at that and said, there was supposed to be more like said here, because this is the issue. Yeah. People were, they said this is what you need to wait for. It was good, and it gave you a little bit into what it is, but not fully. But, I mean, if it works for whatever they're trying to tell the story,
this
whatever,
book should have came out the first week after Convergence.
Yeah,
though.
I agree.
Like, to not have anything that really shed light on what happened, this book needed to come out that first week. Because at this point, we're not going to find out what's going on for a few months. So, that was my only gripe. But yeah, the new writer, I thought, did fine. Like, reading it, it was still enjoyable.
You know, I thought it was interesting. Clark's getting texts from some mysterious person who first gives him some news tips, and so he stops.
I was
suspended her from someone. Weapons.
Yeah, one thing I didn't like, though, is that Clark was so quick to comply with the text messages.
He was very quick.
Like, Clark is normally portrayed as, like, you know, he's Superman because he always does the right thing.
Yeah.
And for him to so quickly be like, this person's threatening me, and I'm going to go and comply. Now, granted, he had a plan to, you know, rectify that, kind of, but still, it just...
Well, he didn't really... When the girl comes in with the blue dreadlocks, is what he said, and she came in, he didn't really, like, give her to the police, or whoever, you know, well, they said they were the police. He didn't really give her to him, but... He didn't really fight it either. Like
he let him take her, and then he was like,
he wasn't
all right,
just
did
like,
what you
wanted. Hey, here, take him. But and they made it out like, well, you gave her away. But I don't think he really did that either. But
he
went with it though. He was just like, oh yeah, I did what you said.
I mean, he rescued her, but still,
it would have been something else if he just let them have her, and not even followed up on it.
Yeah,
but it's good. I liked it.
Next is, how about Justice League 3001, number one?
Yeah. That was okay.
I
enjoyed it.
I had a big problem with the beginning of that book.
Okay.
It felt really cheap how they just, out of nowhere, like, had Ariel Masters be like, don't call me Ariel, call me Lois, Queen of the Universe, or just Lois, like... That should have been something where we should have seen through several issues, like, something's up with Ariel, and then found out through some, you know, method that she wasn't who we thought she was. Just to, like, you know, have her, you know, yell for a couple panels and suddenly just out of nowhere be like, I'm Lois Lane!
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha. Like, it just, I don't know, it felt cheap to me.
Yeah.
And it was super wordy, like, at least the beginning of the book.
Yeah, it was. Well, and the other question is, if she's Lois Lane, because remember they talked about the twins built their research off of Ariel Masters' research. So how did Lois...
She hasn't always been Ariel.
Well, that makes even less sense.
She said that she implanted her consciousness into Ariel. So this is something that happened between the last issue of 3000 and the first issue of 3001.
Okay, because it just...
Yeah.
When I read them, like, this
no, Ariel
is not
was
making
Ariel
sense. Okay.
Previously. Somehow, because we saw them bring back the Injustice League, and Lois Lane was...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, at some point through that, she has implanted her consciousness inside of Ariel.
Yeah.
Had plastic surgery on
it. I think I liked it more than you guys, because I thought I thought it was hilarious, some of the bits in there.
Well, it had funny parts.
With the fire and ice and... Talking about how great Etrigan the Demon is. In
oh
the
yeah,
sack
no, it definitely it had some funny parts.
The Sinestro bit,
and I loved like the female Guy Gardner.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they're like it had good things in it. It just it started me off on the wrong foot, so it was hard for me to love the rest of the issue. Whenever like those first three pages, kind of you know. I don't want to say ruin
sometimes,
it for
me, but sometimes it works where you put someone at the end of the story and the story works backwards. I'm okay with that in certain aspects, but it didn't work here. There was a
big
gap.
They were just like, here's what it is.
Kind of just jumped into it, though. Like, it was just... This first issue didn't, like, lead into, like, a first issue would.
Yeah.
It kind of just was just, like, we're here. Like,
so, and almost in that regard, I wish, you know, that book. I wish just Justice League 3000 just continued without, you know.
Yeah.
Without the time jump.
Why did they have to change it to 3001 with a brand new number one?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because there was a year time jump.
Yeah, but it's still the same story continuing.
Can't give a book a year unless you're planning on changing it.
Like, I didn't look at 3000 and think to myself, that means just specifically the year 3000. I just thought it meant like.
It could be like 3000. It could be the
3000, whatever.
Yeah.
Do we know what happened to Blue Beetle?
Well, they're going to find
it. Yeah, they got mentioned, but that was.
Okay.
I like the fact they mentioned them. They're trying to find them.
Yeah.
Well, and
I like the mention of the club on Kui.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Club JLA.
And then I guess Firestorm's in charge of Cadmus now, and it sounds like he's been making more superheroes. Mm-hmm. So my guess is we'll see more old Justice Leaguers as time goes on. Which, you know, putting them in that different situation has made this a cooler book because you don't really have to stick to any kind of continuity or anything else. You can just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Some of them seem like they don't care anymore because of the process. Like, before it was just like, this is like we're monsters who are doing this.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like they,
or just make whatever, you know.
Yeah,
they made a Guy Gardner.
They were pretty okay with them just essentially killing someone to make or resurrect someone from the past.
Because before they kind of thought that
it was bad. Yeah.
And now it just doesn't seem like it's brought up. And then, like, Green Lantern disappeared. And then...
He took off on his own at the end of the last issue.
Oh, it's been so long. Like, the last one was out.
Ah, DC sucks.
DC, yes. Stupid. We told them.
Yeah.
We'll pro-boom now.
Yeah. Fair enough. We'll go Pro Bowl.
Because they get Colin nice and drunk.
Okay, I'll talk about a good Marvel book. Last week was Daredevil, number
16. Behind Daredevil.
Last issue left off with Daredevil going to the Kingpin to get his help because the Shroud, using the owl, has kind of outed Matt's personal life, and he's gone to the Kingpin. He makes him an offer that keep Foggy and my girlfriend Kristen safe, and I will give you the death of Matt Murdock. That means everyone will think he's dead, but Daredevil will still be there. But he tells the Kingpin he could give him a new identity, and only the Kingpin will know who he is. He could give him plastic surgery, and Matt's like, you know, do anything you want. I'm not going to be able to tell, and only you will know like where I am. So I thought it was a great issue, and it's. I don't know how many more issues Mark Waid has to go on this, but
he just said
I'll miss him on that book.
He just said what his last issue number.
Yeah, it's only a couple more. So and then Charles Soule takes over.
So yeah, I've liked the King of Takeover. This since the beginning. Mark Waid's
run. So he's been on it a few years now.
I think it's been a fun book. Plus, I've always liked the art. Is the artist going to stay the same? I don't remember.
No, I
like the artist. It was a transition between Paulo Rivera.
Ron Garney is on art.
Yeah, Ron's good.
I didn't see how similar it was, but
yeah, I wonder what Chris Samnee is going to do because he's not in any of these new Marvel books.
Creator owned.
I've been reading it in trade. I haven't gotten to the new
number
West
one
Coast
yet.
Series.
The only story I didn't really like was when he met the Howling Commandos.
Yeah, the Monster Squad.
I was just like, why are these characters here? And now I know, because they needed to throw him in Lady Deadpool. So they were they didn't want to make a book and everybody would be like, who are these people? But we're still like, who are these people?
Who are these people?
And now
they're not really people.
And they got Werewolf by Night, and you just kick them in the nards.
And they're really playing up these Howling Commandos. Even this new book, they're in. At least Duggan's in it, though. I did like that.
But he's dead. He's a robot.
What did he die?
No, they revealed he's always been an LMD since World War II. In
was that controversy?
Yeah, that was in Original Sin.
I didn't know that.
Or Original Sins. Sins of the miniseries.
Stupid.
Sins.
He was a Skrull. How does that work?
Sins of the Original.
How do they explain it being a Skrull?
I don't know.
This doesn't make any sense. He was kidnapped, turned into a Skrull. You think the Skrulls didn't be like, oh, he's a robot?
Go by the whole run.
Original Sin. Sins. Yeah, because the only way to get
probably
that
back
is
there on the
shelf.
They'll explain why he's a Skrull.
I'm sure Colin has extra copies.
Just for this occasion.
I'm sure. I don't want to buy all of his copies.
We'll just go read them real quick.
Okay. That sounds about
it. It's practically like a library.
Pretty much.
Well, and Hit
Monkey.
There's
an old librarian in front. Ha. Dave.
Okay, Marvel book. That was just another Marvel book by Mark Waid. It was just okay last week with S.H.I.E.L.D. Which kind of confused me. It's a story focusing on Sky. Right there.
Why would they? Yeah. Why would you focus a story on Sky?
And Sky and Mr. Hyde. And I don't know if this is the same Sky. This is the same Quake who's in the Marvel Universe, and the same Mr. Hyde or not?
My guess it is. Sky. Or they're trying to make it
because Mr. Hyde, because he looks like Comic Glock.
What
in the book?
And the fact that they call Daisy Johnson Sky in the issue.
And well. Sky's getting these like facial deformities or something, and so
but her name's not Sky
Bennett
in the book.
Well, I know they, well, they capture Mr. Hyde, they capture Mr. Hyde, so he could get make an antidote for this. And even though she thinks she's being affected by Mr. Hyde, but Mr. Hyde said that he didn't develop the formula until years after she was born. And the caterer was in. Coulson explains why they call her Sky. She spends most of her mission time these days in outer space.
Wah, wah, wah.
Sure.
Wah.
Like, she does.
I don't think she's been in outer space once in this
they
book.
They couldn't just say that before she knew who she was, that's what her name was?
No.
Well, yeah, Mr. Hyde's like, why do you call her Sky? She spends most of her time in outer space.
Come on.
Why isn't her name
Space? Worry, they'll fix it in the new number one, because it'll be 8 months later.
Pump, pump. Mark Waid is... I think he might be the biggest hit-or-miss writer out there. Like, when he...
Yeah.
When it's a hit, he knocks out of the park. Like, it's phenomenal. But when it's a miss, it is...
Yeah. It's like Daredevil. Daredevil, I thought, has been really good. And there are certain things I'll pick up of his, and I'll be like, what was that?
Like, the Hulk Indestructible Hulk run. Yeah. Like, it started off... hit after hit after hit, and suddenly...
No.
No. Fell into the abyss.
My highest read Superman Birthright a couple weeks ago by Waid is phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, there's certain things. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the best way to...
It's just his highs are so high, his lows are so low. There's no, like, middle ground with him. How's Leia?
Nothing that you're just reading... It's okay.
It's like, middle ground. You just proved me wrong. What? Thanks.
It's just,
jeez.
It's just
should have told me that before I went off of my little tirade there.
There is some middle ground.
Could
there
be a team player.
Well, and it's not just that. I mean, what do you expect? I don't expect that much out of a Leia.
I can't
book,
podcast without
like,
him anymore. Him or me. I'm going to pick Colin.
It's because you're not...
Between who? You and Adam? Yeah. Okay, sorry, Adam.
I'm not at all.
Okay.
It's okay. Like, it's not, like, it's better than Star Wars, but it's not Darth Vader. So, yeah, middle ground.
That's...
I take back everything I said.
Okay.
What else do you have, Dave? I'm defeated now.
It's not an apple. It's more of a fish.
What are you talking about?
It's not as bad as Star Wars, but it's not as good as Darth Vader. It's like, okay...
Darth Vader being the good bug, and Leia... being in the middle.
That was Adam's skill of
one. And then
at
the end, just some Star Wars books, because that is the better one.
I rated
it's not
a Star Wars.
I rated a full R2-D2.
He said Star Wars on Star Trek.
That's right. Still, I gotta get that t-shirt.
I'll quickly mention the Black
Hood.
With the
dog on it. I gotta get that.
Last week, it's issue number 5. This is from Dark Circle, Archie. This is the last issue of the first arc. It's not coming back until October.
Everything's coming out in October.
Yeah.
He's just going to shut the doors next week and then not open again.
But, he's been trying to find out who he's a Philadelphia cop, Greg Henninger, trying to find out who framed him, and it turns out it was spoilers.
It was spoiler.
It was spoiler. It was the deputy mayor who is the mayor's brother, and he's running a drug.
The Michael Nutter's
he's
brother.
He's running a drug. Old Ben Jenkins. What?
No, Michael Nutter. That's the mayor of Philadelphia.
He's running a drug cartel on the side.
That actually sounds plausible.
So that's all wrapped up, and Greg, he's at the end, he seems to be getting his life together, and he keeps taking his speech classes, and he goes away for a while, but then he makes himself a new...
What are you doing?
Then he sews
right
himself a new
Mike.
Black hood.
He would give us such a hard time if one of us did that.
I know.
Move on.
Now that he said move on, let's dwell on this a little bit.
These aren't the shenanigans you're looking for.
Yes.
There's an own goal to it.
What was that all about? Yeah.
And the last week, the fade out, number 7. Anybody read the fade out?
I'm a little behind on that, too. It's just one of those books. I feel like I should really be reading it in trade because it's one of those books I want to read all at once. It's just easier to understand.
This was a very adult issue that was focusing on.
And you sold that to Dave?
I know. They had some images which I can't say.
Is it worse than Airboy?
Yeah.
Well,
were you here when Paul was showing us Airboy?
You might have to be the judge of that.
Yeah, Airboy was pretty.
So there were some graphic images, but.
Yeah,
I didn't even open number 2 yet. I've been scared.
Star Wars to Vader. How you say the images were?
Chewbacca.
I think they're Lando.
We haven't got that yet. Well, you can't rate that. It can't be on the scale.
I think Lando might be good.
The sad part is when you say Chewbacca, I feel like that actually equates to...
Yeah. Full frontal
nudity. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like, I was thinking, like, a 70s vibe. Colin is done.
Chewbacca in the shaggin' wagon.
Move on.
The issue was pretty much focused on the relationship between Charlie Parrish, who's the screenwriter, and the new starlet, Maya Silver. And they go off to a beach house, and they do some
things. Do what people do at a beach house.
Yeah.
Collect seashells.
So they're, you know, Charlie's really trying to forget this whole thing with Val and her murder, but it's not working because something big is. You just have the feeling something big is around the corner here, but I just have no idea, you know, where this is going, what's going to happen. But the art looked different from Sean Phillips' art. It was good still, but it looked a little different. It's hard to explain, but that's a great book, and that's all I have.
Pat,
you want to go next?
Okay. Walking Dead.
Yeah. Skimmed it.
You skimmed it. So, you know, Rick and Michonne and Andrew are all going out to go find Carl.
Carl.
And, they come upon a whisperer who says, you know, Rick can come with us, the rest of you stay here. He meets up with Carl, and, you know, basically they have the father-son heart-to-heart about this is the...
Just because a girl licks your eye socket.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there'll be plenty of girls that will lick your eye socket. You're young, you don't know if she's the one.
That's a lie. If someone tells you you'll find plenty of girls to lick your eye socket, they're lying to you. You find when you hold on to them, she's special.
Yeah. So then Alpha shows up and wants to talk to Rick. She said she ran into some trouble on the road and has a bloody machete. So, you know, the implication is she ran into Rick's group and may have fought them. She takes Rick up onto a building and, you know, he's you know, trying to talk to her and she's like, just shut up. We'll get there when we get there. Gets him on top. And you can see
the size of her group, which is much larger than any herd we've seen to this point. I mean, it's basically these whisperers as far as the eye can see, acting like zombies. So clearly, you know, she has a pretty decent sized army, if they want to take it that way and go to war with them. It's going to be a pretty uphill fight. So it was okay. I think I said it a couple issues ago about Negan's probably going to play a role here, and I think that that's what's going to happen, because he's probably the only one crazy enough that can kind of get things done. So that was The Walking Dead. Rasputin.
I heard it was pretty good.
It was okay. So it came back at the end of the last issue, was essentially his death. And then he wakes up in present time. And he's, you know, in a limo. And the way I took it was he was running for president. He's not. He's like an aide to a woman that's running for president. And she's at a campaign rally or something like that and gets shot. And he heals her. You know, and her thing was, you didn't bring me back from the dead, did you? He's like, no, because don't do that. You know, if you can heal me, but if I'm dead, let me die. And then he has a flashback going back to when he was, you know, younger and in Russia. And one of the things that in the first arc that happened was when he healed this kid, and there was like this little ghost kid that followed him around everywhere, and basically they're examining that piece of it. It's almost like a piece of the kid's soul left and follows him around, and that's probably why she didn't want him to bring her back from the dead, because then she loses a piece of her soul. Although it seemed like she was, in fact, dead. So, you know, that my guess is that'll play into it. It's a weird book. I really like the art in it. And the story itself of Rasputin is really interesting. You know, the actual person. And this is certainly a fictionalized version of it. But it's... It was a decent issue for coming back. I think the last one was out probably 4 or 5 months ago. So it was...
Yeah, that was it. That really took a while to come out.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, it was kind of like...
That's something I'm interested in trade as well.
First trades right there.
Yeah, because I'm waiting until everything comes through. But it's...
See, sales skills.
They're right there. It just seemed like it did seem like a really interesting story. I've always liked the actual story of Rasputin too. I always thought it was kind of interesting. So.
The next one I read was Suiciders.
I love this book.
I keep forgetting to take number two home.
Is it a miniseries? This one ends with saying concluded.
Kind of die, Q.
I didn't think it was. I thought it was like the end of the arc or whatever. Because it never said like 1 of 5 or 2 of 5. And one of the things is it really didn't resolve a whole lot. It's really set up to be an ongoing.
Yeah. But they've definitely done a good job of hooking you on. Go for it.
No!
Hooking you on who these.
Yeah.
On who these two characters are.
Yeah.
Like these polar opposites.
Totally like fizzing under the table right now. Over the phone.
The issue itself, I thought, was pretty good.
So it's really focusing on like the downfall of the Angel and the rise of Straniero.
Yeah, but the
and even the Angel's like agent or handlers came to Straniero to try to poach him after one of his fights, just after they tried to
beat the guy,
kill, you know, have the Angel assassinated.
What I found real, like, the...
This is racist.
Was that his wife or his girlfriend or whatever that he went home to?
With the kid?
Yeah.
The girl that was...
Yeah, she had one boob.
Girlfriend, she...
That happens.
Yeah, but it was like it was burned off.
Yeah, like she had burns like
it was
down.
Like, yeah, it was.
And it showed that she was in a fire during the quake, I guess she was, when she was a kid. No, she was the bartender, and I guess where he's staying at.
Recall in there, sir.
And it showed that there was some sort of spark there.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a, you know, if anything, girlfriend, or just not becoming, because I think that scene you saw was the first time that anything really happened.
Okay. That might have been.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. It's been a good series. I hope that's not the end.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting story. It's very different than anything else that's out there, and I love the art.
The art's been really cool.
Lee Bermejo is writing and drawing it, and I think he's been just knocking out of the park on both fronts.
Next one was The Punisher. So this one starts off. If you remember, I think it was Secret Wars 1, where the Punisher walks into, like, the hangout for all the, you know, the Kingpin and all that, and just, you know, wipes them guys out. Well, this story picks up right after that. And essentially what happens is he knows the world's ending, so he gets hired, contracted, whatever.
How does he know?
I don't know. But he knows that it's the end days. So he gets hired essentially by the Howling Commandos, not the Monster Squad, but the Howling Commandos that were chasing him.
These are the monsters?
No, these are not. It's not the Monster Squad. But he gets hired to go take out ISIS, essentially.
Well, it's about time this.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an interesting way to take this.
This is before the incursion.
Yeah, it would have
to
be.
So, like, this is. Like, is the sky, like, a different color?
I already saw the Punisher going, gosh, I don't have many bullets going to kill bad guys.
If the world's
he walks out of there and then gets contacted by the Howling Commandos.
Where does he go to kill ISIS?
The Middle East.
Did he actually go?
Yeah.
It's
actually covering him.
If he knew the world was at an end and someone hired him to do a job like that, why would he pocket the money and be like, well, world's ending anyways.
I don't think he's doing it for the money. He's doing it because he likes.
Because he likes to kill them.
Yeah.
He's just going to kill them. Kill people.
That makes sense, though. Like, he ran out of bullets. So then he comes back to the bar and he's like, I'm all out of bullets. I mean, he took on ISIS, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, no, this starts off after that.
Oh.
So they give him.
Tried to make it possible.
No, the Howling Commandos. They give him a ride. They give him bullets.
They're monster bullets.
Not the monster.
They give him a tactical vest.
I'm confused.
And
they shouldn't have two groups with the same name.
I really thought we would have got another Psy by now, but we haven't.
They shouldn't have two books with the same name.
No, you're not going to.
They shouldn't have that, right?
But one of the things they gave him was this tactical vest that had like a chemical on it. So he snapped the flare on it, and it was the Punisher symbol, but it was like on fire. And that was the last panel of the book, is you see the ISIS fighters.
Didn't that happen in the movie with John Travolta?
Nah, no, that was, like a whole parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, just,
that was
just,
pretty awesome.
I'm pretty sure
I like that movie.
That was a good,
I like that movie.
I didn't like Travolta in the movie, but
did you like see Travolta going into the flames and everything? You were just like,
yeah. I like Thomas Jane a lot as Frank Castle.
Yeah.
And the little fan clip or
Dirty Laundry.
Yeah, Dirty Laundry. That was phenomenal.
I thought it was great at the beginning when the guy says, go with God, you know, for Castle.
I think God's going to
set this one out.
Set this one out. Yeah. That was good.
Warzone's good too, but
I haven't seen it. I was too bummed out about Thomas Jane not being back for it.
Yeah.
Here's how you have to watch Warzone. You have to go into it expecting completely over the top violence. That's what it is. It's some of it's just ridiculous. I forget what company made that movie. I think it might have been Dimension Films or something like
Lionsgate.
That. Or Lionsgate. So, you know, almost like a Saw movie, just over the top violent. That's what this is. At one point, he punches a guy in the face, and just like head explodes almost.
Yeah,
it's pretty out there, but it's
very Garth in us. So.
Yeah, but it's also it's a decent movie. And yeah, they actually, some of the characters were from the Max run, like the Kitchen Irish, the, yeah.
Who's got the dreadlocks? What was his name? I forget.
McGinty.
McGinty, yeah.
That was it. Yeah, I couldn't think of his name. And then, Pitsy and Ink, which are not father and son in the comic, but they make them father and son, and then they're basically henchmen for Jigsaw.
Yeah, I don't like Jigsaw in that movie. Yeah.
No.
He's just too over the top.
Not as bad as his brother, though.
The only thing I didn't like about the first Punisher movie was the fact that they just kept throwing villains at you for a while. Like, they were just like, here's the Russian guy, here's this guy with a guitar.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's gonna Harry get Hatch. It soon, yeah. Yeah. Just, like, stop it. Like, just move on with something, but...
But it, you know, it...
Code words.
I had,
like, 3 clicks of that link recently. In the past 2 days, people from your site.
The next one I have is We Are Robin.
There's no way more about what's going on my website than I have a clue.
Yeah, I liked it better than the preview.
The preview was okay. Like, it gave us an idea, which I guess mission accomplished.
Stretching my legs. Oh, it was empty. Okay.
Now it is.
Yeah.
it was a good deal. Like, it was all about Duke.
Yeah.
And
G.I. Joe?
Yeah. No, not John Wayne either.
Okay. Not the Duke, no. But it had a good start, I thought, at first issue. I thought it was I think you said that it, like the preview, it seemed to be like, it might be the wrong book I'm talking about, but like, it seemed like it was on for that teenage demographic, mm-hmm. but it
yeah,
didn't have
I,
to be.
Yeah,
I think that was the one you were talking
It was
about.
Good. It was basically a high school student keeps getting in trouble, going from his parents have gone missing since
Endgame
which we saw they got turned into Jokers, and he's just kind of in a really bad place, getting picked on at school, fighting people. Like the one foster home he goes to, he's like, you know, they're like, oh, here's the bathroom, go scrub it. And he's like, I hate scrubbing, no bathroom. And he runs off.
Yeah.
And
at the same time, there's a... You forget one.
Well, does he find somebody that takes him to that underground, or does he himself just go down there himself?
He gets found.
Yeah, you know what it reminded me of? Deadly Class.
Yeah.
It had that same kind of feel.
Yeah.
There was somebody looking at him while he was
underground. They knew that he had some ties to the Batman.
But did it tie in with that Detective Endgame issue?
Yes.
It did? Okay, because I wasn't totally sure.
I think it was the
Detective Endgame issue?
It was the one with the smiley face.
There was
a
on the white mask.
Was that Detective or was that Batgirl Endgame?
The smiley face with the white mask was the Anarchy story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was that one.
The Detective Endgame issue. Yeah, I was expecting a little more crossover, and it didn't seem like the characters weren't all familiar to me.
No,
I don't think. I think Duke's so far the only character that we know.
And then whoever.
Now, is Duke the one that in the 5 years later? Was the Robin in the Future's End?
Yeah, I believe
okay.
so.
Okay, just making sure I got the right guy.
Was it? I thought that was the kid from Zero Year.
Yeah, isn't that all the same guy?
It's all Duke.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
I didn't remember.
Found him in Zero Year.
Okay.
That's, I'm just trying to keep
it all
together.
Yeah, Duke's been, like, we've seen him in 3 different times. Yeah.
Okay. The end, the epilogue. So, that was a little...
With Alfred?
That's who... Yeah, okay, and that's... I wasn't sure, but that's who I thought it was.
I'm pretty sure that was
Alfred. Running
I liked it. I liked that epilogue. I liked knowing that... I like the idea that Alfred knows what's going on and is keeping a watch over, because I would imagine that he would still, like, be keeping a watch over the city in some way, even without Bruce around.
Well, and then depending upon what happens in Batman, Bruce may be around but not playing Batman. He may be healing up or whatever, and maybe... That's...
But I have a feeling, just from the little teaser we saw, if Bruce is around, I don't think Alfred knows.
Could be.
So, I like that Alfred still...
No, I don't think. There was a point where they made it, like, he wasn't telling... Who was it? He was not telling somebody that he was alive. Superman. He didn't tell Superman. He was just like, he's, like... Not here. He didn't tell him.
I'm sure Alfred.
So I think
he thinks
he's a messane of some sort, but
Bruce sent Alfred something.
That's right. That's right.
So okay, Alfred probably. I think the letter, because they showed us the letter, didn't they?
Yeah.
the letter, I think, maybe like alluded to him being alive. So I don't think Alfred knows exactly what's going on, but I think Alfred has
suspicions.
I think
he has an idea that he has some sort of plan.
Yeah.
Not Alfred, but Bruce.
Yeah.
But no, I liked it. So like you said, it was a good start to the series. I think this is a book that could fit like the different demographics. Like, I think a teen can pick this book up and relate to those aspects, but I don't think it's too over the top in that regard for an adult.
An adult, yeah. I liked it. It wasn't all text the way that the preview
Yeah, like they mixed
was.
It in, but it wasn't. Yeah.
But yeah, because this was actually one that when it was first announced, I'd put it on my pull list.
Yeah.
And when I saw the preview, I was kind of like, I don't know.
I love the preview. I thought,
I was not a fan, because I'm not a fan of having to read 1,000 text messages. I don't like reading
for how they're doing
text messages on my own phone.
I'm not a fan of the text message
I thought for
bubbles at all.
Yeah.
I think if they do it just for the sake of doing it, it doesn't work. But in that preview, I thought it worked.
Yeah, the preview, I don't even know if I was really, I was sold by the idea. Like, the idea that there's a bunch of, like,
Robins
running.
Because, like, if you have this group of, you know, kids who are taking upon themselves to be Robins on the street, they don't have all the tools. That is how they would coordinate and communicate if they're out doing something.
Yeah, I get that piece of it. It's just, that was kind of a turnoff for me on the preview.
Just the writing part
but
of it,
then... Once I actually, you know, got to number one, I'm like, no, this works. I like how they're doing it.
And that's written by same guy as Suicide, it was Lee Bermejo, too.
Yeah.
He did the cover for me, so.
It was decent, though. I did. I thought it was good. I think it has a lot of potential, though. The last.
Flash.
I read Flash. It was all right, I thought.
Yeah,
I couldn't put my finger on why I just felt it was all right. Until I heard someone else say...
The stuff with his father is what kind of bothered me.
Well, what I heard someone else say is, it feels like the book, in parts, was trying to be too much like the TV show. And when the book really worked is when it did things the TV show couldn't do. So when you finally had, like, that twist with his father, something the TV show could never do,
mm-hmm.
like, that's when the book started to feel interesting. But with the just, you know, the same stuff, same ground the TV show's, you know, covering, that's when it... was a little bit boring, like with him just, you know, talking to his dad, like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, I have another lead, I'm gonna solve this and get you out of prison.
That part I didn't, but even like his father's reaction, it seemed to me strange that his father knew who Zoom was, but he didn't.
If that's who we're talking about, because Barry,
he said Thawne, and his father flipped out.
It didn't say the name.
It did. He said Thawne, and that's when his father flipped out and told him to stop.
You might be right. I just thought they didn't say the name to us.
Oh, man.
Josh's gotten up reading. Yeah,
now you did it. You pissed him off.
That's what I do, and that's what I do best. So, yeah.
I thought I remembered a name.
Yeah, and that's... Like, I know... DC's trying to get away from continuity and all that, and that's fine, but it just seems strange that his father being in prison would know who that is, yet somehow Barry didn't.
Anytime Strange is mentioned on this podcast, I'm just like, how strange is he?
No, we're not going there. Colin's going to
You can leave.
Up. Hey.
See,
you can make like a tree and leave.
Colin, you could be on the stage. That's right. Doing something.
Josh is the one who knows how to work a ball.
Oh, he just.
Oh, he's saluting you, Colin. Letting you know this is the number one store.
Number one store.
Yeah. So.
Hey, there's Colin. He's a dick. Bleep.
That was far enough away.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear me. I said Pat was right. He did say Thawne.
Yeah. But that was the part, like, who we were saying as you're walking away.
God, I think he's crying.
How would Barry not know who that is, but somehow his father did? It's, like, I get that it's, you're essentially going off New 52 continuity, but I thought Zoom showed up at some point in New 52.
No, Reverse Flash was there, Iris's brother.
That okay, that's right. That yes. Okay. That comes aside. I know I remember seeing it, but yeah.
But they're essentially like portrayed the exact same.
Right, but what it's not Daniel West. Yeah. It was Thawne, and that's where I was kind of.
Yeah.
So and then the other one I read was Green Lantern Lost Army.
I like that.
I did too. I wasn't a fan of the art. Especially at the back, the way they drew Guy Gardner, that to me just it
he looked, was just missing the sweet mustache.
Wasn't the sweet mustache, although was he was missing mustache. The sweet mustache. He looked kind of like he'd be rushed to the front of the line at Disney World a couple times, you know, kind of like in the Squirrel Girl cover thing.
Anything you want to say?
Yeah. Do you agree?
No. 70s, sweet mustache, working a pole.
Josh is going to stand up again.
Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Hobbits.
This is turning like a spoken word podcast.
Chewbacca.
Hobbits. Pole, 70s, work.
Thank you very much.
This is all performance art. At
yeah.
This point.
Sky.
But the story itself, I think, is interesting. With you know, they're trapped somewhere, and it was like antibodies attacking them, essentially.
Yeah, like erasing things out of existence.
Yeah.
So whatever they hit was just getting wiped out, not even just destroyed, but completely just erased. I liked that when Guy showed up. He like had no idea what was going on, but he had both rings, so he was looked like a Christmas lantern.
Yeah, and I think John actually makes that comment. Yeah. Somebody made that comment.
Santa. He did. That's why I had it in my head.
It was a state because
wasn't this look
Guy Gardner trying to steal my mantle now?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeesh.
Well, he looks like the traditional Green Lantern Guy Gardner, but instead of the white trim, it's red trim.
He did not meep though, so you still have that.
Yeah, that's true. Take a meep. You can still work at Muppet Labs.
He does have a red hair, though.
Yeah.
Just one step. Okay. Yeah. One step closer.
Yeah, don't get close to the meeps guy. Or it will be on.
After the podcast, I have a fun beaker fact for you.
Okay.
Well, why after the podcast? Why?
It's not fun to anyone else, but...
Okay. Just so it's too racy for the podcast.
Well, beaker, Josh, what did you read?
Work a pole.
Oh, jeez.
We're slowly moving across the table.
Go. Hold on, I wasn't ready.
I can go.
Okay, go ahead, Adam.
X-Men 92.
Read it. Check.
It was okay. It wasn't like... I mean, it had that nostalgic feel, I think, like everybody was wanting, so I think it'll work for that. They were dealing with a group that, after some war, I guess, that they've been having... was taking mutants and reworking them into being better people. So even bad mutants.
Not a work of mutant.
Like mutant re-education camps?
Yes. And it turned out that it was
like Days of Future Past?
No, this is a little better. It was a little better of like an establishment. Almost like Charles Xavier's school, but a little more nice. High-tech. And it was being ran by... Cassandra Nova, so they're tied in a little bit to the Grant Morrison run.
Well, it started off with her taking down,
was it that one where Charles shoots? No, never mind, wrong book.
Yeah,
keep going.
She showed
sorry.
Up in two books. Isn't
yeah,
she?
Sorry.
And it's not the same. I don't.
It's getting
think
confusing. No, just all the Secret Wars different characters are doing
especially
different things.
Especially that there's so many X-Men books and then having the same person. But it's like a Cassandra Nova, I guess, tied into just this universe. They have a baron of... what did they call the place? Westchester? They had a whole name for it. It sounded Westchestria or something. And it had the baron...
Chesterfields.
The baron was Senator Kelly.
Okay.
And he talks to Cyclops at the beginning about a war that they were fighting in. That they called him General. He was like a General Cyclops was. And it was just a little weird and that much. If they would have left that out, it would have been a lot better. But a lot of the 90s feel to it. I mean, it really did work.
Well, I read that the opening pages were the opening to the cartoon.
Yeah, it was when they were all at the mall doing the laser tag. And then the Sentinel breaks in, and the Sentinels were supposed to be offline, according to Kelly. But I don't think they fully trust Kelly at all, either. They did in the cartoon at the end of it, because he seemed to trust them after stopping an assassination attempt on his life. But in this, he seemed to be friends with them, but I think he knows more about Cassandra Nova's big plan of what she's planning on doing. She also attacks Charles Xavier through the what do they call it? Doctor Strange's world that he reaches into.
The astral plane.
Yeah. And that's where they do their fight. I guess that's where she was originally created in Grant Morrison's, but it's been a while since I've read that. How she was kind of a creation of the mind, almost. She was just made. It was weird.
Cassandra Nova?
Yeah.
Wasn't she,
she was like a...
She was like a twin of, of Charles Xavier.
Yeah, right? But she didn't exist, like, all the time. Like, she was like a part of him, like an opposite part or something, I think.
Like his Magnus?
Yeah, kinda. But it's just, you'd have to look at the Grant Morrison story on that one. That's a little much, but...
So were you humming the theme the whole time you were reading it?
No, I it didn't have. There was hardly any action in it, really. Though
he was, I know.
There was hardly any.
There's
action.
No shame in that.
And I would have if there was. Yeah. I would if there was more action in it. There really wasn't any action.
But like even in the beginning when you're opening up the intro,
no, wasn't there. They were just playing laser tag.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was playing laser tag with somebody, I'd be humming the song. Man.
See, that makes sense.
They were no
exciting. Yeah.
But everybody, like, voices were right. Like, it fit, like, you know, Wolverine, how he was being read.
You sold him the audio version?
Yeah.
No, I mean just how his text
Hugh Jackman
and how he
did
was,
Wolverine.
How he was being read. You could,
just Tears voice.
You could see that it was, they were really focusing on making this just like how it was supposed to look. But the other book, and I'm talking about two Marvel books here. What is it called? Age of Ultron. And,
that Marvel's was, you know,
zombies.
What? Based on your liking it, I read that, and I is Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies, because that was one that when they announced it, it was like, what?
It seemed cheesy.
This looks dumb. That was fantastic.
It was good. It the only big problem I had was he was from the Western world, which I don't know what it's called.
Well, because exactly. It comes out next week. It's the 1872. But hang on, It's Hank Pym has been creating a Clockwork Man in the 1872 territory, so he's been sent to the wall.
Okay.
For doing things against Doom didn't
he's
like
take
that.
The black.
He's taking the black, yes. And so, but because Wasp from 1872 is somehow that's the problem with this coming out before the 1872 book, they're kind of introducing you to characters that I'm assuming we're going to know more there, but. Wasp is there and basically saying, I always liked you, so I've done you a favor, and I'm going to let you be put where you want. And basically said there's three areas south of the wall. You have the Marvel Zombies area, you have Annihilus's Annihilation area, and you have, what was it, Utopia, I think they called it, which was
Ultron.
Yeah, Perfection, which was Ultron's area. Well, he decides to go to the Ultron area.
Course.
And so he's there. All of a sudden, he's attacked by Rhino and Vulture zombies because they're all under there. They're all on the other side of the wall, but it's not separated, and they're always fighting one another.
Yeah.
And so then he's saved at the very end by Wonder Man, Vision, and
the original Human Torch,
Jim Hammond. And said, we've been waiting for you.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting. It was very well done.
Yeah.
Definitely, it was a book that tied in with the big secret, with the overall Secret Wars thing, with the wall and all this, as opposed to some of the books kind of
had
existed in their own
thing.
But yeah, it was far more interesting than I ever would have given it credit from the time we saw the cover.
Yeah. It seemed gimmicky.
It seemed gimmicky because there is a book out right now, and that has been for years from IDW called Zombies vs. Robots. So it looked like that's what they were trying to to do, and it was just one of those, but this is a really neat twist
on it. That did
seem
like, that's actually what I thought that book was going to be, was it going to be them fighting. Well, when you introduce this whole event called Battle World, and then you say, okay, this is Marvel Zombies versus Age of Ultron, I'm thinking it's going to be a battle between those two, which, I mean, it still could be.
Which has really been about the first battling territories that we've had, other than, I think, in Squadron Sinister, there was some... that the Squadron Sinister was taking over nearby territories. But there hasn't been a whole lot of Battle World in Battle World.
But I think it was a good introduction, like, to, you know, the whole idea, the character of Hank Pym, and it's being an old Hank Pym, and they send him in, and he's interested in the whole robot thing anyways because of Ultron, but he didn't get a chance to build his. It just, the whole thing was really interesting. Really interesting read. The only problem that I had with it, and we were just talking a little bit about it, were the, like I didn't know that was Janet for one. And then, not only that, they overdid it with the whole Western feel, because she just kept talking and all this, like, I kept comparing her to Jessie, the cowgirl off of Toy Story, because she was, I mean, she said, there's a snake in my boots, you know, she was just going on and on.
But I think, this one definitely should have come out after 1872, but I know that one got delayed by the artist leaving
that
it.
Just a little bit.
So, yeah, it was just a
I didn't
little...
know where Michael Morbius was from.
Yeah, I don't know.
They didn't really explain. He was just hanging out at the wall.
Yeah, Spider Island, which comes out next week.
Yeah, which something wasn't explained. Yeah. I mean, maybe he works... Did Siege come out?
Not yet, no.
Maybe, I mean, Siege is about the wall, I think, so maybe he works there. I don't know. So, little odd things, but it was...
Works the concessions, too.
Yeah. He does. Peanuts, but, popcorn.
A few people will work there.
What else you got?
That's it.
Rich?
As part of my continued DC-ification, if that's such a word. Red Aquaman 41.
Saw that on your list. Okay. Why didn't you talk about it?
You skipped over me.
Oh, did I? Did we skip you?
He was getting
That's right. Well, I'm sorry. Okay.
But he wasn't prepared.
Yes, I did read that also, Rich.
Yeah, because I'm
like how you're just like...
It's just turn around. You're
brutally interrupted
by... He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Highfalutin talk now.
Highfalutin, yep, yep.
Being new to that series, I would defer to you on any opinions because it's my first
one.
I can't really say.
Calls him Aquaman.
I can't really say whether it's good or bad kind of thing.
You just jumped on?
Yeah, I'm just jumping on with all these number 41s and DC.
So hey, Jeremy, we're talking about Aquaman. Okay, sorry.
It was very different.
He's listening.
Colin Bunn just took over this book, and it's a very different Aquaman book than what it's... Are you two okay?
No, Colin Bunn, so this is book 82.
Colin Bunn. So, it's a very different tone and feel from the previous issues. This book, it starts off, Aquaman is in St. Louis, and...
That seems like an odd place for Aquaman.
Get out, Colin.
I thought you were going to say hot water. So that's where you pause. You went, Aquaman is in. And then I filled in the site. I'll be quiet.
Distraction.
I'll go back to my doodling. I'm sorry.
He's in St. Louis, and you see this...
Which is like, hot water.
Tentacle monster and this temple kind of appear out of nowhere, under the arch. And he's fighting it. He has this completely new look.
I haven't looked at a map in a while, but I don't think there's a big ocean anywhere near St. Louis. I mean, Mississippi
River.
Right, but Aquaman, saltwater, the Mississippi River is not...
He's half human.
You know, does he need saltwater?
Yeah.
He has to have saltwater.
Yeah, that was actually, that was a plot point. Remember, that's why blood would... Yeah.
Yeah, we don't factor that in.
That's what you're using, convergence?
That was their. That was the last Aquaman thing I read.
All your credibility just went away.
It's Aquaman.
He's half
or
human.
Aquaman.
It's Aquaman.
He's half human.
He drinks blood. We've established this.
He has blood.
He lived in a lighthouse.
What did that have to do?
He didn't even know he had ties to the water for how many years.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, obviously...
When did a tentacle creature live in
the exactly.
It was a portal.
I don't know if it was
Does it use salt water?
It
wasn't.
Showed up.
The tentacle creature had nothing to do with water.
Oh.
It was a temple.
As tentacled creatures are often found on dry land.
What else did you read, Rich? Okay. No, this is...
Or in the sky. stupid.
You guys good now? All right, so...
Not so nice when people do it to you, is it?
You guys were doing it for quite a while. So the tentacle creature and the temple, he's fighting it, and he obviously knows something about it, and it starts flashing back to before he is exiled from Atlantis. Well, not exiled, but before he's on the run from Atlantis. And he and Marin and some of the Atlanteans are investigating something, and they find what looks like it ties back to this tentacle creature. So it looks like the ocean's been poisoned somehow, and whenever it looks like oil gets on them, it burns their skin or their cells. So it's flashing between the, you know, what happened in the past to the current events, and it starts to hint as to what caused him to be on the run from Atlantis. So whatever this threat is, it's threatening the existence of Atlantis, and you find out that he is helping people that are somehow tied to it, but you don't know what their ties are to this, you know.
This seems to be like a running theme with DC right now. It's characters that are on the run. Yeah. What about Wonder Woman? Is she still... I mean, I know you don't. But
you guys are trolling me so hard.
But does anybody else... Did they do anything with Wonder Woman?
I wouldn't have done that. That was wrong.
I don't know.
I read the new one, but...
Is she like...
That was my first one again there. And I didn't get the impression like she was on the run on the outs, because she talked about having
she just changed her clothes.
The queen of the Amazons, and she's the god of war now, and like another role. So it doesn't sound like she's on the outs. Unlike Green Lantern and Aquaman,
she was on the outs. Like whenever the new creative team took over, because then suddenly the other Amazonians were not happy with her as their leader.
Well, they were snakes forever. So.
What's that?
There were snakes for a while. So. Yeah.
Plus Swamp Thing.
But, I mean, Aquaman, I like it. It's good. I did not like the art in the flashbacks at all. Like, I don't know what you thought of it, but I think the art for the present-day stuff is fine, and I really like his new look. And he has this crazy new trident that's a sword that transforms into the trident.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was kind of neat.
How could he have a new trident?
Because he doesn't have his, royal one right now.
They took it.
And it alluded to that he has these, you know, he somehow stole these ancient powers and abilities that he didn't have before. But yeah, when it did flashbacks, the art was just, it was a very different feel than the present day art, and I didn't like that at all. But otherwise, I think the book was good. It seems to have more of like a horror vibe than it has had previously.
That's what the preview kind of had, too. It kind of had that feel to it. A lot of dark colors that they were using. Mm-hmm.
I like his new costume, though.
It's purple now on him, doesn't it?
It's dark, but it's not purple.
Okay.
All right. Actually, I think at the beginning, there was even like a caption, or was it his thought about like, I never would have expected to be in St. Louis. Or he actually made a comment to that effect, like, this is kind of a weird place to be, you know, sort of thing. But
St. Louis is weird. But I don't think that he has to have salt water to survive. Otherwise, he would have known he was tied to the water from when he was born.
That's true. Yeah, because everybody else would have been like, can I have a glass of water? This doesn't taste salty enough. that would have been the case.
Okay.
All right.
We figured it out.
Next one was a book called Deep State. It was issue 7 on that one, which it's kind of hard to describe since I haven't talked about it before. But, I mean, basically the two main characters are a guy who's sort of one of these government agents who doesn't exist kind of guys that work for some agency just known as, like, Control. And then there's a woman who in the first issue actually kind of gets recruited by him.
Yeah, I read the first issue, but I never finished it.
They knew already they wanted her kind of thing. So it kind of went through sort of like an alien bit of an arc in the first few issues related to the moon, us and the Russians being on the moon and stuff, which obviously they weren't for real. But then the last issue, they visited some old lady who, like, kind of was tied into the Kennedy assassination. And most of the people now just think she's some old crank who's senile and thinks she was involved in it. But this issue, like, they started out talking about having visited her, and then like someone tries to kill the woman, and then the guy who like nobody's supposed to know exists gets like a courier shows up with a package for him, and he's like, how does anybody even know that? So that's kind of like his version of like being attacked, basically, because someone knows where he is. And then it just goes straight into, there's this kind of, you know, super evolved, you know, NSA program that they think might have, like, it's not really hypnosis, but it can kind of direct people because it picks up all the patterns of all of you, everything you do online. And, you know, that's how they could have directed somebody to, like, put a hit on her to kind of track him down. So they think that this program has been compromised. And there's one guy that could have done it, some hacker. So they go to find him, and like a second guy with the same name as this agent who doesn't exist is there. And then he's all out of whack, and the girl. So it kind of ends with like who's who and who's what. So it's kind of hard to describe almost, but it's kind of interesting. The one thing I was bummed about was once the last issue, when they started getting into the Kennedy thing, I was like, oh, this would be a pretty interesting one if they kind of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with, you know, how other, you know, brought in some scenario of that, you know, but they kind of just sort of left that and went right into this computer, you know, hacker, you know, it's not really AI per se, but, you know, this huge computer program. So that was the one thing about that one for me. And then I read Invisible Republic, which is, it's issue 4 on that one. And so far I like this book a lot. It's following kind of a reporter. And I think they're on like a moon that was colonized from, you know, as like some from some other planet. So it was sort of like a stepchild type colony at some point. And this reporter finds a journal, and it belongs to a woman who was, and I should know this because it's kind of important, I think she was like the cousin of a guy who basically led a revolution and became, from what they indicate, kind of a not so nice dictator, but they don't really show a lot yet about his government.
Are there nice dictators? So,
I'm sure there's benevolent dictators somewhere, but
it's not usually the line of work you get into if you know you're all about, you know, happiness and peace.
Yeah,
well, that's what that mean.
That's true.
He's a dictator.
They all start out that way, but so he's got this journal, and so the book kind of goes back and forth between him, you know, discovering this story, and he's going to try to get the story out. And then it flashes back to sort of following this girl who's kind of on the run, you know. But I don't, like, the flashbacks right now aren't quite where the guy, I don't think, has taken over yet. So it's sort of leading up to it. But the reporter, like, at the beginning of this issue, he just survived somebody trying to kill him because they knew they had the journal. So he gets away, and he runs into an acquaintance who's going to help him supposedly get out the story, but they need to find more history on it. So they, you know, they're reading some books on this. I think it's McBride is the guy's name, but they're the official party line, you know, kind of autobiographies, but, you know, they're going to run into characters. I think they're going to tell them more, but it's pretty interesting how they kind of go back and forth and, you know, the flashback scenes, because it's none of this is supposed to be very nice. So, you know, they use kind of, it's very bland, sort of like muted colors and stuff like that, so it looks kind of drab and sort of depressing, which I think is the way it's supposed to kind of give you that feel. So I'm not the best art critic kind of thing, but to me I like that part of it. But it's a pretty good story. Again, I haven't done a very good job of encapsulating the first 4 issues in that, but that's sort of the general theme, is, you know, reporter with his journal, and it goes back and forth to the girl, you know, in those times kind of thing. But I like that one for sure. It's going to be a pretty good one. So, and that's it for me. So.
Oh, come on. There's one more. What's up on your list?
No, I'm going to let you talk about
it. No. That. Okay.
Yeah.
Mayday was a book that I forced Rich to read. And
I read that one.
Yeah, I love your three-letter summation is WTF. And I agree completely, but it's one of those books where that kind of actually makes it fun.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's going on. Number one appeared to be taking the story one direction. At the end of issue 2, it looks like the lead characters are dead. In issue 3, it turns out they're not dead, just kind of captured. But then it goes a completely bizarre way with this cult leader. And then it ends in a way you couldn't have expected either. With, like, some sort of portal and him stepping through with this cult leader the lead character stepping through this portal, much to the chagrin of his partner, not in crime, but in trying to stop these people. It's just, so far, I think it's only four issues, so there's only one more issue in this bizarre little run, but it's just been fun and different.
Yeah, that one is, it's hard to figure out.
Very hard to summarize. It's nigh impossible. And then the only other ones I have are a couple more Secret Wars ones. E is for Extinction is definitely following up on Morrison's run of... that was E is for Something was the story of his first trade. And it starts off with Casanova confronting Xavier and Xavier choosing to shoot himself in the head to try to stop her. But it doesn't work. And then it goes on where Magneto is kind of in charge of the X-Men. Man, it's really starting to blur with that X-Men 92 now in my head.
They were very similar ideas.
Yeah. So it's not that it was bad. It's just, they're kind of, it was kind of blurring, and I honestly couldn't, now that I'm trying to come up with the answers, I don't remember exactly what happened. I just remember the beginning was very distinctive. Korvac Saga is the Guardians of the Galaxy book, but it's the older Guardians. It's... Martin X and Charlie 13 or 23 and those guys, but they're Yondu with a arrow he controls by whistling.
So Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
You had to point that out.
Yeah, and I did because I'm like, I don't remember that ever happening.
No, he did the traditional bow and arrow.
Yeah. But this one takes a turn that was referred to in the Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps book. Where they're the Guardians of the Galaxy, but they've never seen outer space. There's no stars in the sky. And all of a sudden, some people are starting to talk about stars and where are the stars. And then they kind of then start going crazy or mutating. And one started looked like he was starting to turn into like Juggernaut or something, and they had to put him down. And it's going along. And
one of the Guardians of the Galaxy did?
No, someone they were kind of hunting
or
tracking, trying to take down. And it's like they're describing it as a sickness where it's almost kind of like becoming aware. And Michael Korvac is the Baron of this area, but his neighbor is Wonder Man and his kind of version of the Avengers, and they're coming over for a visit and kind of mocking Korvac and you feeling superior to him. And then at the very end, Korvac's wife goes into her room and is looking.
Marina?
Looks out the window and goes, gosh, shouldn't there be stars? So now she's starting to become affected. So it was quite interesting. Definitely tied in more with the Secret Wars world. The fact, the Secret Wars overarching plot. It was interesting. It didn't sell well, but this one I was very interested in. It surprised me. I didn't know what to expect. But I did like this one. So that's all I got.
I have two more here. Grayson, number 9. So this issue picks up after the big twist at the end of the last one, where you find out that the head of Spiral was really working against them. So now Helena Bertinelli is...
Weren't they trying to infiltrate Spiral?
Yeah. Well, he was trying to sell the information to Kane, Sandra Kane.
Okay.
So, Helena Bertinelli is now the head of Spiral, and she's talking to, like, this, almost like a governing, board about, I guess, during different Spiral missions, there have been other spies from other agencies, like rival agencies, who have been killed on all these missions, and she finds out that they're all missions that, Dick Grayson has been on. And it looks like Grayson's being framed for these murders because all the murders, it looks like they were, their heads are bashed in with, like, the sticks that Grayson uses. So it then jumps towards, the current mission that Grayson is on with the other agent. I think Agent 1 is who it is. And it's essentially a heist. There's this rich woman who has a necklace. It's a Kryptonian crystal. And she doesn't realize it's a Kryptonian crystal, but if someone who knew were to get their hands on it, they'll be able to find out. And they tied it back in saying they'd be able to find out everything about Superman. So I don't know if somehow they're tying it into what's going on with Truth somehow or whatever, if it was just a throwaway line. But so Grayson and Agent 1 are there to try and...
Well, they were trying to figure out a bunch of things with superpowers anyways, right? So that might have more to do with that.
They were, but they specifically said if someone would get a hold of it, they would find out everything about Superman, and their job is to keep the information hidden that could put the world in danger. Huh. So he and Agent One are there to try and, you know, steal this jewel. And then the book, like, this issue had a real, like, James Bond feel to it with this whole heist and, like, just the spy interactions. And they still played up, like, the kind of tongue-in-cheek aspect of where they're turning Dick Grayson into, like, the objectified male character in comic books as opposed to the normal, like, female character. So we've seen that a few times.
Yeah, they
did
that with the all-girl school.
Yeah, this is like the third or fourth time they've done it, and they do it in a humorous way, so it's funny.
Yeah, they're always really pointing stuff out.
Yeah,
with that.
But I mean, it doesn't matter to me. But I think it's
insurance.
I guess it's kind of good that they are taking it to, you know, the other side, not just, you know.
They also made his character. His character is still considered gay, right? He isn't, but that's his, like,
Dick Grayson.
Yeah, that's his whole. His disguise, like, while he's there.
Oh, yeah, at one point, he's, you know, changing into, like, tux and bow tie.
Yeah.
For, you know, infiltrating the event, while Agent One is taking down a guard, and Grayson's, like, tying his bow tie and complaining about how it's a pain to tie, and as he gets it on, like, there's this full-page shot of him, like, all, like, dressed to the nines, and holding his tie, saying, "Am I straight?" So it's funny, but it had a real, you know, nice James Bond feel to it, a lot of humor, and then this mystery of who is killing these other spies, and I think it might be Agent One. Then there's kind of a pretty big twist at the end. So it's been really good. Like, this, the past few issues were good, and this issue I think is off to a solid post convergence start. So, and then Ninjak number 4. Which has been really good. And this issue focuses on Roku, who is a character that was introduced in, I think it was the first issue of Ninjak, where in the first issue you saw him saving this, you know, character who you think is a supervillain with, like, she has various powers that are kind of mysterious. One of them is her hair, they say, is almost like razor blades, and that's one of her
primary
weapons.
Roku. Mm-hmm. Was that Roku? Yeah, she was in the first issue.
So this issue, it picks up where the last issue left off, but then it delves into, you know, Roku's origin and tells the whole origin of her, and you see that she's tied back to these, I think there are monks who essentially made, like, a deal with the devil to get some sort of weapon. They wanted some weapon for whatever reason. And then it cuts to them, look like they're almost sacrificing this girl, like this blonde girl, and next thing you know, you see this girl in, like, this cavern underground, bloodied and completely bandaged up, and as she is going through trying to find her way out of this cavern, she's starting to gain these different powers, and her hair is turning red and getting longer, and she's fighting these, you know, look like monsters or creatures, and she's trying to, you know, claw her way out and becoming more and more ruthless. And it was an interesting backstory for Roku. It kind of threw off the momentum that Ninjak had, because you had kind of a complex story going on already, and it's, you know, put that to a halt for a little bit, but it was good. I really enjoyed it, and she's been an interesting character so far, so I think it was good to have an origin for. I just don't know if I would have had it as the main story this quickly, but it was good. And then we already talked about Planet Hulk a little bit in the beginning. It's good, it's fun, it just, it has nothing to do with Planet Hulk to me. It starts off with Steve Rogers waking up, you know, he's asleep on Double Dinosaur, and he wakes up and there's Doc Green there experimenting on some creature, and Doc Green says he's there to help him find the Mud Kingdom or the Mud Castle.
Didn't at the end of number one, Doc Green, like, blast something that was attacking them with some apparatus on his chest or something?
I don't remember Doc Green being in the first one.
Okay, I know there was some Hulk person. Maybe it might not have been Doc Green, but maybe it was
Banner. At the end of one, there was the backup issue where they...
Yeah, no, it was before that. Yeah, no, okay.
They should have had Star-Lord do that, riding the dinosaur.
Yeah.
So
Star-Lord, Moon Boy.
They start making their way to this, you know, the Mud Kingdom or Mud Castle, and they're encountering different gamma creatures, like gamma plants, Hulk eaters, and then Hulk bulls, and the Hulk bull will start to charge them, and Double Dinosaur takes one on, the other ones chase Steve Rogers and Doc Green, and they jump in a river and go down a waterfall, and it's just, I mean, it's fun. It's
the Land of the Lost?
Kind of like a Land of the Lost feel, but it's a fun book. It's, you know, the art's nice. It just has nothing whatsoever to do with Planet Hulk,
like,
and that's what drives
Planet
me nuts.
Planet Hulk is a thing in this, being that, like, the whole idea of all the Earths brought together, and it was another planet. Like,
even like this area, which is called Greenland, looks nothing. It looks nothing like Planet Hulk. Planet Hulk was like an apocalyptic desert, planet, and this is very lush, and there's big waterfalls and a river, and
it's just like, what,
all these creatures.
What Earth are you taking this from if you're not taking it from the planet that was...
It bugs me because I feel like it's just called Planet Hulk to cash in on the name Planet Hulk. There's no ties whatsoever. At least Old Man Logan actually has Old Man Logan in
it. It was that world, man.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. One thing we forgot to talk about last week is Pat and I have been listening to a podcast. It's called The Avenging Hour. It's a friend of mine, I guess mostly internet friend, although I have met him face-to-face. Jason Richards lives out Camp Hill, Harrisburg Way. What?
No, I was talking to Adam. Sorry.
And when I was getting ready to open the store, I was looking online for anything I could about what I didn't know. I wanted to make sure there wasn't going to be anything that surprised me. I was just trying to get as much info as I could. And Jason was in the process of actually opening a store. I started, like, about a year ahead of time, was starting to look for stuff. And he was opening his comic book store that was called Riot out in, I think Camp Hill. And he was modeling it after Isotope in San Francisco. And it was interesting. The reason I have the wood floor is because one day early on his post was, how do you get tar out of carpet? Because they had retarred the... parking lot, and somebody had walked through some fresh tar and walked in on his carpet with it. And so I went, okay, I know how to get, maybe this will be a better way to get around it. So that's literally why I do not have carpet.
Except for the other one.
He didn't, yeah, but
well,
he didn't
I, but I did,
that,
that's how that was. Yeah, I didn't redo that because trust me, putting the flooring in here made me vow to never do it again.
We did it yourself, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. Never. We'll never do that again. And then that when I took over the other side,
that carpet's still there.
Well, there was no floor. When I took over, this whole side was gutted. So I put everything in. Mm. So there was no floor. So we had to put something. But that carpet was there. It was one of those. Hey, good enough. And then just talking with him, emailing him back and forth, he came by, they came out this way and he stopped in and, he started doing a podcast with a friend of his. Pat listened to some earlier ones. I jumped on when he started the actual Avenging Hour. He Facebooked me one day and asked if I could mention it to, you know, help try to boost their thing.
Yeah.
And basically with the Avenging Hour, what they're doing is they're going through, they are reading every issue of Avengers in chronological order and discussing them. And I think they're, what, through seven?
Yeah, they're up through seven
now. And there's one I didn't read where I think it was like eight in letters pages. I haven't listened to that one
yet. That was the one that came out on Sunday. Okay. I actually listened to that on Monday.
Okay.
And that's, I think, the first appearance of Kang.
Okay. I didn't listen to that one. But literally through the first seven issues, I don't know how this book made it. Because basically, I don't want to say they don't have anything good to say about it, but they're like just... It's just ridiculous and bizarre, and basically every issue the Hulk has been the bad guy. It's weird that, you know, listening to him basically going, yeah, that wasn't that great.
But I think, and you know, they acknowledge the fact that Stan Lee was writing and editing and doing everything for not just the Avengers books but all the books, and because of that, he took shortcuts, and it's almost like. That's what was expected in the 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way books were written. But they also go into the history a little bit about how, you know, they just wanted another team book. So rather than create new characters, they said, okay, well, we'll just take the characters we already have and throw them together. And that's kind of how some of that started. But, they definitely point out some of the more ridiculous things, like, somehow the Wasp and Ant-Man fly to, what was it, New Mexico as the Wasp and Ant-Man on an ant. Like, how long would that take?
That takes forever.
Like, why wouldn't you get on a plane?
Avengers wasn't funny. A book that, like... Avengers wasn't a book that, like, really people knew about, like, the way we know about it today until, like, Bendis, I feel like, started writing.
But it is kind of funny just listening to him because you kind of get the impression of, you know, how did these books make it? Because, you know, it's things that people remember fondly, you know, Avengers 4, first Captain America and stuff, and then they're reading it and they're like, this doesn't this make any good. Sense. This is, you know... Yeah. All these really weird things, but it's just, it's fun. And I just wanted to give them a shout out. So if you're looking for something else to listen to, they're on iTunes just under Avenging Hour or The Besides Avenging
us?
Hour.
Yeah.
Besides us, you know, because we only talk for like, what, 8 hours a week. people have more time. So yeah, it's just something I just wanted to give them a shout out.
We'll put a link on the website.
Sure, absolutely. Also, Jason is an aspiring writer, and he's been sending me his drafts, and I've been really enjoying reading them and giving him critiques and edits and things like that. So he hasn't had anything published yet, but he will if he keeps up. I'm very constructive. Not criticize him, just, hey, what about this? This didn't make sense. Things like that.
Wasp again.
No. So I definitely wanted to give them a shout out. And we just totally forgot last week. Pat and I were ready to, and then all of a sudden, like, it ended. And
yeah.
I think you stopped by the next day or something, and we both kind of went, yeah, we totally forgot to talk about that. And that's why in the middle, all of a sudden, I wrote down on my notes real big so Pat could see it. And he's like, oh. And then Josh looked at my note and went, what? You know, Avenging Hour. Okay.
He was going to get revenge on you, Josh. That's
yeah.
Revenging Hour.
Revenging Hour. Next week. Next week's going to be an interesting week. We'll get to a little more of that later. But 18.
Much later.
Well, after I finish doing this.
In hour three.
Yeah.
Really?
God, we got to be getting close. I can't even read that now. My eyes are blurry. We have 1872 number one, so hopefully that will make Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies make a little more sense. Age of Apocalypse number one, Secret Wars. All-Star Section 8 number two. I'm probably the only person... Oh, it's only a six-issue one, but I'm probably the only person that really enjoyed that. Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows number two. Archie number one. All new Archie with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
666 covers. 13,
14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 22 different covers. Wow. Who wants them all? Who wants them?
Dave?
That's one book I might consider getting more than one issue of so you get another cover.
And there you go. I got 22 coming. Right. Batman 42. Batman Superman 22, which I'm assuming that will continue the truth story.
When he said Batman 42, I'm thinking it's like, you know, the serial, the old Batman.
Bloodshot Reborn for Josh. Bloodstrike, Rob Liefeld. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pouches. Civil War number one. Constantine Hellblazer number two. I enjoyed this one. Deadpool Secret Wars number one. Young folded promo poster. That's a wee bit late.
Because 2 came out two weeks ago.
Yeah, Descender number 5, Earth 2 Society number 1, Ghost Racers number 2, Harrow County number 3. Again, if you're looking for a horror book, this one has been very good. Inferno number 3 and Infinity Gauntlet number 1 promo poster. Again, slightly late as number 2 has already come out. Invader Zim. People kept telling me to order this up, so I did order a lot. Apparently, it's very popular. I don't know anything about Invader Zim.
Popular,
so.
Some people.
I know it was like a cartoon and stuff. Yeah. So, but yeah. Weirdly, Justice League of America number 2 is coming out so quickly after number 1 got a little bit delayed. So it's just interesting that number 2 is coming out so quickly. Not complaining, happy, but just interesting.
Justice League coming out next week?
No, it doesn't, which is fine. I don't want Justice League
and
Batman
both of them
the same
weeks,
week.
But
Justice League of America, so that's good. Justice League United, it seems like forever. That's coming out with the new creative team. Who is that? Mad Max Fury Road Max, 1 of 2, is coming out next week. Master of Kung Fu number 3. The new Overstreet Price Guide next week. Woo! Doesn't mean... A lot of people look forward to that. Providence number 2, which is the Alan Moore Yellow King book. If you watch True Detective, they talked about Yellow King. Rebels number 4 for Pat.
Yeah.
Red Hood and Arsenal 2. Runaways 2.
Yep.
Saga number 30. Secret Wars 2099. Spider Island and Spider Verse. So we got 3 Spider books coming out next week. Why not? Squadron Sinister number 2. Star Trek Green Lantern number 1.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. That's good.
Wow.
Hope you ordered up on that.
Suddenly we all woke up.
Five. 25
copies. You just put us to sleep for a while. Everybody was just quiet.
In dulcet tones. Sorry.
Now to add to Adam's... No.
What's an umma?
Not vocabulary.
Vernacular?
Vernacular, thank you. Star Wars Lando, number one next week, so you can add a new one to figure out where to rank things.
There's a ranked list of
yeah.
this stuff.
Yeah.
Colt 45.
That's right.
Right, they had to get Charles Soule to write it, because it needs
Soule. Starfire number two, Starve number two, another one I really enjoyed. Strange Fruit, I think that's from Boom. That's the... Oh, shoot, it was on the cover of Previews. Darn it. Okay, sorry, blanking. Tomorrow's number one and Transference number one. Tomorrow's is a dark horse. I'm not sure about Transference. Vampirella Army of Darkness number one, because people have been clamoring for that for years. Walking Dead 144. Weird World number one poster. Another, yes. And Just for Adam, which William Shakespeare's clone army attacketh.
I didn't even know that was coming on.
See, now you do. So, I will not be here next Wednesday. There will not be a podcast next Wednesday unless you guys want to hang around and do one.
What the?
Because I'm going to San Diego Comic-Con.
Traitor.
I know. No, not a traitor.
We need
a celebration.
Kinds of exclusives when you get
no,
back.
You know, it's funny. Someone was here.
Are these back toys?
Someone was here right before we, and he's like, oh, could you stop by the Mattel booth and get me some? And I'm like, no, I'm not standing in line 3 hours to get you something.
That's messed up.
Not why I'm going to San Diego.
That's messed up.
So, what, that I won't do it? Yeah.
Why do you hate everybody?
I do.
Just as customers.
So, it's going to be a fun week. Everybody, cross your fingers, and because I'm up for the Eisner
How are you going to win
Spirit
when
of Retailing
you
Award. I didn't say that. You said that.
He didn't say he hates his customers. He just said he's not going
to
do stuff for them.
If you agreed to get your customer something, they'd be like, look at this guy go the extra mile.
Do you remember which customer it was that asked me to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So,
remember that we're recording.
Oh, I know.
And I hope he knows too.
I don't feel bad. So I'm up for the Spirit of Retailing Award. So I'm excited about that. Lots of stuff going on. I got to start planning just to like where I'm going to be. I finally printed out the map from the hotel to see how far it is to the convention center and all that.
You know, I got
to
walk through two ghettos.
No, it's only like half a mile. It's under a mile, so I can do that. I'll be tough.
You might have to run at a full
sprint. No, San Diego. Come
after
on.
After all the briskets you've been eating this year, you're not going to make it. I'm sorry, but you need
to get a guy in a wheelbarrow.
Can you wheel me in?
They'll have those little rascal scooters ready for rental.
He has a Segway.
You know what? If they did, even if you couldn't walk, just take that. It'll get you there.
Okay. That's about it. So that's a podcast. So we'll have we'll come back in 2 weeks. I was gonna say everybody read up and we'll have lots to talk about, but I'm sure I will have.
We can miss a podcast. It really
doesn't. Lots to talk about.
Okay.
Sorry, just texting my wife. I'm down a car and she's coming to get. So we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Justin will be here next Wednesday, so please do not come because I'm not here. I know that does happen sometimes.
Do not come.
I will also be posting about the there will be a 4th of July sale. I'm going to have modified hours. I'm going to be only open half.
Modified hours.
I'm only going to be open to 3. I got to do family stuff.
What day is that?
Saturday.
That's what I thought.
So, but there will be a sale. I'll get that posted up tomorrow because it's way too late right now. So, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Have fun. Read stuff.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. Up in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats.
It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. With my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio with Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take you back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in the system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock, when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm blonde when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes.